All right, please, let's start today, all right? From the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Now, as you know, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we read the story, the well-known portion that's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. That's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. So, if I may just back up, don't open to it, I'll just back up. He was explaining, I believe, Paul. By faith, all kinds of things were done by people. They quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness were made strong. They became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. All kinds of things. If you go down to 37, it said they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tried, that is, tempted, put to death. In verse 39, it now says, and all these, having obtained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Not as if their faith failed, but there was something that the ultimate promise was. In fact, literally, he said, they did not receive the promise. Not what was promised, as it's written in some versions like this, but the promise. And the promise had to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, God was using everybody to prepare for something. He now said in verse 40, they did not receive the promise. Verse 40 says, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they will not be made perfect. Let me just read that in a simpler translation. He said, God had something better in mind for us, so that they will not reach perfection without us. Now let's now go down, continuing that particular thought. He now said in the next verse, which is chapter 12, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Now, please listen to this carefully. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now, that's literal. I'm reading New American Standard here, and it gave it as close to the Greek as possible. That is, the Bible calls Jesus the author and perfecter or finisher of faith, not our faith. Some versions will say our faith, but literally, it says of faith. Now, listen to this Christ Jesus. He said, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I think I should read a few more verses. In verse 4, it says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have not forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons, which says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Let me just stop reading in verse 6 here. But please, the main thing I want to bring out from here is where he talked about the Lord Jesus. When he called him in verse 2, he said, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now, that's what I want to talk about today. The perfection of faith. We've talked about things around that, all right, before, but I just want to remind us of something in line with what we have been talking about the time of affliction. Now, please, let me just, because my hope, I've been trying this for some time, it hasn't worked, but let's see whether it will work today. I want to round off everything we've been saying so that we'll now close that series of teachings and go on to something else. Now, why did I read this particular point? Now, please, let me say this I've said before again. Christianity is a journey, all right? It's a walk. We've talked about the fact that there are different kind of soils that the seed is planted into. Now, let's go over that again. You can read, don't bother opening to it, but you can go and read the book of Mark chapter 4, that some are those that heard and did not understand. And immediately what they heard was taken away from them. You remember that? Then there are some who heard, they understood, so they responded. But the response was not good because there was no depth of earth. So shortly after they began to grow, persecution started. And please bear this in mind. The sun rising, which is a type of persecution, is necessary for plants to grow. You know that. It's necessary. So the persecution that came by reason of the word is good. Now let me explain this. It's not always only persecution. Let's just say trials that come because of the word, they are good. They don't feel good, but they are necessary. But those who have depths of earth, they are able to withstand. But those who don't have, that's when they fall away. So they are called. But, and should I, do they qualify for chosen? No. All right? Three levels of Christianity. Called, everybody's called. Chosen, those who respond, all right, and begin to bear fruit. And those who are faithful, who actually bring fruit to completion. Now, even amongst the faithful, let's just emphasize this, there are different levels of faithfulness. That's what the Bible talked about, 30, 60, and 100. Now, so, the next level in that parable are those who heard the word. They had depth of faith, conviction. Now, let me say something, you know, which I said a few weeks ago. Christianity, true Christians, the easiest thing for them to stand is trial. The main problem is prosperity. So it says, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, that one will creep in. And that's where most people fail. That amongst those who fail. It's sad that I think more people fail than actually succeed. And the reason, I'm sorry to say again, is some of the doctrines we preach today in which Christianity is validated by outward success. My wife and I were still talking a few days, was it yesterday evening? Yes, in the house, yesterday evening. I saw somebody talking yesterday. And the person was explaining and explaining how to make it in life, the kind of thing. And I just paused the video, interrupted what she was doing. I said, this is the kind of thing that annoys me. See, they've started again. In which what they are calling breakthrough is materially measured. That's what I'm talking about. It's materially measured. If you leave what you are doing, maybe you're working in an institution, a big company, and then you decide that the call of God for my life, please pardon me, it doesn't always go like this, is to go and pastor a church, all right, and become a missionary or something like that. And when you leave, even the Christians amongst the people there, whether your decision is wise or not, it's not judged by when you leave. They watch you after a year or two. If when you finish, after a year or two, you come to visit them and your car is taller than their own, you know what they will think? You obeyed God. I don't know whether you are following my point. And you're shining. You know, they say, there's a way your skin reflects the prosperity you have experienced. Of course, really from the kind of quality of clothes you're wearing and when you are talking. Ah, they say, and you might have been a big professional. Everybody is okay with it. Why? They've seen the financial effect. So they say, indeed, you knew what you were doing. But if you were to come back a year later and they saw you somewhere, and you're still wearing the same clothes you wore when you left them, and you sold the only car you had, or one of the cars you had, to fund mission work, and one of them were to give you a lift, you know they'll go back to the office later and start discussing how foolish you are. No difference in what you did. The judgment is just on the outcome, naturally. And you want to know the truth? I'll tell you this simply and but truly. If your story is on social, is it TikTok? I don't know anything much about TikTok. I know YouTube. So YouTube, you're not going to trend. Hear what I said? You're not trending. You are not going to trend. This is what I want to make. That outcome in those 2 years, looking at you physically, please, let's be honest about it. Does it really say anything about whether you obeyed God or you did not? No, whether you were wise or not, does it say anything? Those who disobeyed God, they prospered. In fact, disobeying God often leads to prosperity. Don't forget that. I keep saying it. In fact, the thing I said I was listening to, and the example the person was giving, I told my wife, I said, but this example this man is giving as a sign of God making somebody, you know, succeed, is the very thing some of us sat behind before and said, this man is disobeying God.
There's a particular minister, if I mention his name, all right, of old, not now, old man, those days, gone home now, all right? His verdict, we all know this verdict. And he said, this is not the right thing. And we all believed it. And somebody is kind of using that to validate a particular way of doing things. You know why I'm saying this? Don't forget, bowing to Satan causes prosperity. Why many people bow is simply because the Bible says there's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Let me go over satanic arrangements again. We've looked at Psalm 118. We say, open to me the gates of God. God has gates. He has his way of doing things. Satan has his own way. And both of them, they generally promise. Now, please, pardon me to say this first. The same thing. Now, when I say the same thing, now, what I mean is this. You want to be happy, that's what they promise. You want to be satisfied, that's what they promise. Both parties. And I can prove that the Lord promises that also. He told Abraham, walk with me, and I will bless you. It's the same thing. God doesn't say, walk with me, and I won't bless you, and things will go badly for you. Walk with me, and I will bless you. That's what he offers. I think the only person I know he offered the other one was Paul. I've shown you what he will suffer for my name's sake. Generally, he offers a blessing. But in Abraham, let's go back to Abraham. It's a walk with God. And that walk with God is a long walk. That walk with God takes time. By the time you get to where God is taking you to, you are not the same person. The Abraham that came out of Ur that time is not the Abraham that fathered Isaac 25 years later. It's not the same Abraham that offered Isaac as a sacrifice to God 30 something years later. That's after the first 25 years, all right? Estimate about 60 years, God was working on Abraham. Until Abraham got to a point where he said to God, where God said concerning him, by myself I have sworn. Now, can I use the expression? That is when you will say, once saved, forever saved. From calling Abraham till that point, Abraham was on a journey. Now, listen to this. On which he could turn back. A journey in which many have turned back. A journey in which many are still turning back. Abraham could turn back. Many have turned back. And we know Israel, they left Egypt and they turned back in their hearts. And listen to me, why did Israel turn back? It was simply because, listen to this, of difficulty they met on the way. Israel turned back simply because things were not as rosy as people were. They felt it would be because, you see, they felt we're in bondage. Okay. Now, I feel like talking a bit about Israel. We're in bondage. God is going to take us out of bondage into a land that he promised. So it should be a better place than here. Now, they forgot one thing, or they did not realize something. Between the place where God called them out from to the promised land, there is a transition period. We call the wilderness. Now, wilderness could be short, it could be long. It depends on who's walking it. But this is God's plan. By the time you enter into the promised land, all the gods of Egypt must have left your heart. I don't know whether I get my point. Egypt, now many may not realize this. Egypt was not just a physical place. I mean, what I mean is that it was not just the physical Egypt that was a problem. It was Egypt in the heart. So when God is taking you from a promised land, when God is taking you from a land of bondage and is taking you to a promised land, he doesn't just take you physically. He makes sure that Egypt is excised from you. So when you enter into the promised land, you are a person that can live in the promised land. Otherwise, he said, the land will vomit you up. In fact, that land that he was going to, it was a land that some people lived in. And now, please, this is the wisdom of God. When you see God remove those people that were in that land, now when God was dealing with them, he did not remove them because his people were coming. I don't know whether you get my point. God has a dealing with everybody. The dealing he had with those people was not related at all with the dealing he had with the people of Israel. As far if those guys had to write their own story, I hope you're getting my point. The story of their life, told by the scribes, by the prophets, will have nothing to do with the Israelites. The Israelites will have been to them exactly what the Assyrians and the Babylonians were to the Israelites. I don't know whether you're catching the point. They will have been the judgment of God. Why did God remove them from that land? He said it was because of their wickedness. So as he was fulfilling his promise to the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of Isaac and Jacob, he was also fulfilling his judgment that he passed against wicked people. Collectively spoken of, they call them the Amorites. Now, Amorites were not the only persons there. But I like the way Bollinger explained that the word Amorite was just chosen to represent everybody in that land. So he said the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. So by the time the people were driven out by the Israelites, now you have to know they were not only driven out by the Israelites. I don't have time to talk about that in detail. Because even the Philistines you are talking about were called to come there. They came from a place called Kaftor. God did not only bring Israelites, he brought Philistines. And they all removed the people of that land. But God said, why did they remove the people of the land? He said, because of their wickedness. Because of their idolatry. So God said something to the Israelites. He said, see, I'm not bringing you in because you are better than them. I'm taking them out because they are wicked. He said, now, because I'm a just God, when I bring you in, if you demonstrate that kind of wickedness, see, the same punishment I give to them, I will give you. He said, the land will also vomit you up. So to prevent that from happening, he said, let me. Now, that was why God, well, one of the reasons, used 10 plagues in Egypt to deliver the people. He was not just delivering. Please, follow me carefully. He was not just punishing the Egyptians and delivering his people. He was condemning and showing who had the power to his people. He was condemning the gods of Egypt. He was persuading his people, these gods are not worth following. Every plague. Now, please, the Bible doesn't give us all the details if you just read one portion. It was when I read Ezekiel, I realized some of these things I'm saying. That God told them, see, listen. I know from reading Ezekiel that Moses went around preaching. Many of us thought that Moses just went to the Pharaoh, let my people go. No. Moses went to the elders of Israel. The time for deliverance has come. Now, many things involved. One of them, the time to judge the people in the promised land has come, and you guys are going to help me judge them. Number two, time to fulfill my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has come. Everybody prepare. What was their preparation? Remove the gods from your land. Remove the gods from your homes, I wanted to say. Don't worship the gods of Egypt. Now watch me so that you will know that the gods you are worshiping are false gods. So he began to judge them one by one. That's the play in this whole thing. Now the first three plagues affected the Israelites because they held to their gods. So after a while, they began to get the point. And they began to remove the gods from their homes. And then the plague stopped affecting them. Please, I hope you're following my point. Why was God doing that? He says, see, if I don't do this, people, when you get to the promised land, you won't last there. He worked hard. By the time they left, the gods were inside their bones. They were not in their homes. They were not in their hands, not in their luggage. They were inside their bones and their hearts. And that was why they kept on wishing for Egypt. And listen, Egypt is, see, you will remember Egypt, and Egypt will give you something to wish for. That's how Egypt is. And you see, problems on the way. I used to ask myself, I said, see, why will it? Because for me, I feel like, if God did this kind of miracle before me, firstborn of Egyptians, you kill. I saw the way you separated your people, and did all those miracles. Then, before my, pardon, let's speak Nigerian English, before my kuru eyes, you split the Red Sea and I walk the middle. I will serve you till I die. But these other people, no, as soon as they finish the Red Sea, Moses, you try, that was a great job. By the way, where's water? Now to split sea, you feel do. Nah, babe, put water here. Grumbling upon grumbling. So I asked myself, why would they do this? Now, let me tell you something. Why one of these people worship other gods is because of the love for Egypt. Let me explain. God does not accept what we call syncretism. If you want to follow God, you follow him fully. You can't bring Egypt along. Sometimes when we want small Egypt, since Moses will not produce small Egypt, we have to make small Baal. I hope you're getting my point. A small Baal will come to help us bring small Egypt into our lives because we keep on looking back to Egypt. So what do I mean by that? When we want those results, God will not give it except we walk with him and are perfected. So he said, walk with me and be perfect. So what he's doing is that he's bringing forth perfection on a daily basis. But Baal, other gods, which is why they go to him. No, he doesn't demand that. As you are, he will never address your sin. Baal doesn't do it. False gods don't address the sin in your heart. They don't. They actually like it. The more you sin, the more they prosper you. Because if you can spread the sin in the land, I said it last time, they will survive for longer before the final judgment of God. So that's why people find it easier to follow. They still promise the same thing. Satisfaction. Meet all your needs. The same things that God promised to his people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, these are promises. Every promise God gives has conditions. Fulfillment. Has hidden prerequisites. Everyone. Anytime you are declaring the promise of God, your heart must be open to his precepts. Because to step into the fulfillment of a particular promise, he will show you the precepts necessary. That was why Abraham had to wait those 25 years. Each time he's processing and training and correcting Abraham and removing every remnant of oil out of his life. Now that's where the problem is. That patience is hard. That was what brought Ishmael to be. Because, listen, that's my message for today. Abraham was walking with God, and, yeah, Sarah finally gave up. Now, it was a journey that God wanted the two of them to walk on. Sarah was the first to lose heart. And he told Abraham, maybe you should go on without me. And that's how Ishmael was born. Don't be angry with Sarah. Believe in God. Like, you know, I was talking with you guys the other day. John and David, remember? That one man of God said that sometimes God will tell you, wait here. And you'll be so sure he forgot he said so. I don't know whether you heard what I said. The day he was talking with me, we were talking about something. You should have seen this look on his face. He wasn't joking. It's as if he wanted God to hear him say it. He said, God will tell you to go there. You know what he said? He said, God will now go to Hawaii and be sipping coconut. It's as if he forgot he told you to wait somewhere. He said that in several times in my ear. I knew the man wasn't finding it fun. He was angry a bit. Yeah. He said, God will now go and sit down on the beach under a tree. They'll be giving you a coconut. You'll be sipping it and sleeping. And you are somewhere terrible. Since the Lord said I should wait. He said, at that time you would make up your mind. He has forgotten. Sometimes it's not as if you don't want to wait further. You just want to go and remind him that I'm still waiting, though. Now, in military discipline, you don't do that. And that's what God is doing with us. If he says, wait here. And you know, I was taught those days that if they tell him, I can't remember who taught me, because I did my NYC Nigeria Army, told you guys. I learned a number of things that if they tell you, God wants to see you, maybe the battalion commander, a colonel, or lieutenant colonel wants to see you, and you are a lieutenant or a sergeant, that when they say you walk into his office, you salute and announce that Let's assume you are Lieutenant Joshua. So Lieutenant Joshua reporting as instructed, sir. And you don't tell him you are waiting. He's on his desk. If you're lucky, he'll look at you and say, easy. So that is at ease. You stand at ease. And you, if he lies, let him be on the phone for 1 hour. If he lies, let him be writing letters. You are not allowed to tell him, okay, I see they here. But you know, we normal people, after I say, excuse me, sir, I see they. Send the military, you don't do that. You've announced your arrival. You wait there. But this man said that sometimes it's as if God forgets. So don't blame Sarah too much. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's right too. I'm just saying you are not better. That's what I'm saying. But you see, the Lord knew what he was doing. And Abraham was supposed to continue to walk. Now, God had helped them, corrected them. They kept on walking. And that's something about walking with God. You don't give up on him. You don't. Now, let me quickly say this at the beginning. And let me say this at this point. At the beginning of walking with God, let me just advise you. All right? Please, desire nothing. Don't write, this thing the Lord will do for me. Leave that in there. Frustration will kill you if you put that in front of you. Sometimes he wants you to be frustrated first. Case in point, Moses. When Moses was small, his mother explained to him, say, as he was growing up, say, Moses, let us talk. God in heaven is good. God is very good. Do you know you were born in this house? Moses said, yes, okay. Yet now you are a prince in Egypt. Now you are back to this house. Let me tell you why. They indoctrinated Moses very well. Now, in case you want to understand, it was an angel that told them where to keep Moses. An angel let them know, see, don't worry about it. Egypt will take him and give him back to you. Miriam, stand there and watch. They were not guessing. Some of us want to do faith. No, those guys were not guessing. Instructions were given directly. And Moses' parents obeyed those instructions. And everything happened just like the angel said to happen. And Moses ended back in that house. Let me hurry with the story. So Moses knew his life. He knew what he was up to. He knew how he was born. He knew how he was taken by the house of Pharaoh. He knew everything. And they told him he would be the deliverer of Israel. Okay. So after a while, when nothing happened, what did he decide to do? Let me do something. He saw the suffering of the people. He now decided that he will go and liberate them. And unfortunately, he doesn't understand. Or he did not understand. That, you know, when John the Baptist, even John the Baptist made that mistake. When Jesus came, are you the one to come or we are to respect another? Was what John said. Why? Because everybody thought deliverance starts outside. God said, no, deliverance starts inside. He said, Moses. Now, he didn't say this to Moses, but it was saying in effect, Moses, your people are not ready. They are enjoying Egypt. You can't deliver people who are enjoying Egypt. Wait, their hardship has not reached the point yet. So you go. Go and wait in the wilderness. What I'm telling the story is that Moses, after a while, a young man, from the time he was young, his mother had told him what his life was about. When he tried to do it by himself, he got into trouble. The people were supposed to deliver. They were the ones that even began, some of them began to rise up against him. You want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian the other day? So the Lord said, okay, go. Go and read Hebrews chapter 11. He said, Moses did not go into the wilderness because he was afraid of Pharaoh. If you read Genesis, you think that's what happened. Exodus, right? Yeah, if you read Exodus, you think that's what happened. But Hebrews said, no, that's not what happened. He said, by faith he moved. That means that the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Moses, yeah, get up and go. Moses was not afraid. He could not be afraid because his father had explained to him what his life was about. The angel of the Lord said, yeah, go into the wilderness. So you know what he thought? Go and calm down. On the things, calm down. Except that after 5 years, remember that man that said that God forgets you and goes to Hawaii? After 5 years, Moses was looking for God's number. I said, oh, boy, do you know his number? Let's dial him to tell him I'm still here. 10 years. 10 years became 20. After 20 years, let me be honest with you. Even you will stop waiting. By the 30th year, he was sure that he made a mistake with his life. He wished he could wake his mother up and ask that, you said who spoke to you? As for the person that told him to go into the wilderness, he knew he was having imaginations. That was clear. No angel spoke to me. I was imagining things. I hope you're getting my point. He knew no angel spoke to him. He was imagining things. By the time he reached 35 years, he finally wrote it off. Say, Israelites, me and I died there. Die in Egypt, none of my business. When I wanted to deliver you people, you saw what happened now. So when God saw that the man was totally finished, God said, let's deliver them. He said, deliver who? Let me just explain to you. When I had the energy for deliverance, for delivering people, was 40 years ago. Right now, I am retired. I said, good, these are the kind of people I like to use. Because now, all the struggle had left his body. Moses felt left by God. I'll be honest with you, he felt it. I know because when God finally came and spoke, he told the Lord, you came too late. He gave every excuse possible. So God will go and find somebody else. I have one young guy. Oh, he's been here a few times. I think his name is Joshua or something. Go and call him. Until, you know, God got angry with him at the time. What's all of this argument? Have you ever argued with people that are smaller than you? Talk to people that, and they argue every point. You know, you are trying to help them. They argue, argue, argue. Out of frustration, God gave him Aaron. Say, I can't talk. Say, God, forget this thing. I am not saying anything. I can't even raise my, and he couldn't raise his voice. God could have made that voice come back, everything. Say, I am tired. I think he had a mini stroke at the point in time. He said, why did you say so? The Bible says he was eloquent. If you read Acts, then why wasn't I arguing that I couldn't talk? Because the eloquence and the smoothness disappeared somewhere between 40 years of age. Do you get my point? God just say, okay. It's all right. Aaron is coming to see you. He'll be your prophet. Reluctantly. So, if I say, God says, let my people go. In case you do not know, it was Aaron that said so, not Moses. Because all Moses used to do was whisper. And then Aaron would say, thus says the Lord, let my people go. Everything he said that Moses said, it was Aaron that was, Aaron was the echo. God told him that would be your prophet. People hadn't heard the voice of Moses in Egypt. Moses said he wasn't talking and he meant it. So God gave him Aaron to do the echoing. That's how frustrated the man was. What am I saying? That is why people worship other gods. But waiting for God can be frustrating. It's the reason why I said that when you are starting with God, please, this worldly thing, and I was saying at the beginning, that will set the standard for success, is not Christianity. It's not Christianity. Remember I was saying the story of somebody who left his work to go and do mission work. And after a year, 2 years, the way other Christians, not just the world, we assess him, is, look at it now. That guy was very smart. Why? Because before he left, he didn't have a house. Within 2 years, 3 years of ministry, he's built one or two. You hardly see him around in the country. He's flying up and down. So what did they say? This guy, he heard God. And they want every young person who has not yet heard God to go and hear God the way this man heard God. One of our brothers told me his story. Very interesting. They were in a church. There was small, I don't know whether I call it crisis, but certain things happened. And there was some reshuffling in the pastorate. Are you getting my point? There were quite a number of pastors in the church, the big church. So he and this guy, they were friends. Both of them were pastors in that church. So that one resigned and left. And as soon as he resigned and left, big money entered his hand, you know. Imagine now, this really happened. What I want to tell you, I'll give in today's Naira. Imagine now that I leave the church where I'm pastoring, and somebody said, oh, God called me to come and help you. And he dashed me 50 million Naira in today's Naira. So immediately, you know, by the following week, I had rented the best hall in Enugu, bought the finest of equipment, that kind of thing. No, you get the best. So he called my guy. He said, oh boy, you are still there. You know what he said to him? He said, God has not spoken to you. Go and pray, let God talk to you. Did you hear what I said? Go and pray, let God talk to you. What does that mean? We know what God will say. You can't tell me how you have prayed and you are still there. And why could he, I'm sorry to say, why could he say such nonsense? Because of money. If he had left, and after 2 months. He's begging to be reemployed in that church. You know, he would tell the brother, pray, let God keep you here. I laughed. People sometimes, what they call hearing God, that's how it's judged. One day, one brother, you know, he's been telling people he lives abroad. So he's encouraging people to leave Nigeria. So one of the people I was talking to had left the country. He now called his friend. He said, have you seen? Your friend has heard God, now he has moved. You are still there. Pray. You need to pray and hear God. Did you get what I said? We are all in Enugu here. You say you pray, God spoke to you. You move to, let's not, just give me one country, anyone. UK. You say God spoke to you, and you move to any other country. Meet another one. Not South Africa, because you have to. US, $20,000 deposit for visa you get. Okay, let's say United States. Now, he was calling, from, let's say, Australia. All right? He says, see now, this is what they've heard God. Then you now tell me that God has not spoken to you. He said, pray harder. God will talk. You want to hear the truth? None of them heard God. None. See, I'm being unequivocal about it. None of them heard God. Now, it doesn't mean what they did was wrong. I don't know. I'm not saying it was wrong. But just shows one thing. None heard God. The Holy Spirit led none of them. They had made up their minds what they wanted to do. Because we are Christians, we have to blame God. It's the reason why I wrote, own that decision. Because people do what they want to do, or they will do what they want to do, and they say it's God. And when they say it's God, you know you can't talk. But why I use that story is because the person who said, go and listen to God, was judging that he was successful in listening to God, simply because as soon as he moved, heavy money fell into his hands. So he could judge that God spoke to him. And let me tell you, most times that happens. It is Satan that's leading you. I didn't say all the time. I said what? Most times. Most times when you hear God, so-called, you know, hearing, sincerely now, when you move like that, God will first test you, whether you are really obeying me or it is convenient. When the salary they were paying that church first dries up, you will go back to pray. God won't give you anything. You will be there. Back. You go pray money after and you have to go and say, Lord, why did I come here in the first place? You know that he left and said, things are shining. Most times it's not God. When Satan wants, now listen to me. I'm not saying 100% of the time, I just say most times. But when Satan wants to tempt people, that is what he uses to lead people astray. Think about it. Why would he do otherwise? What is the righteous way to become rich in life? Now, please, rich is not what we are aiming for, but I want to just as an example. What is the righteous way to become rich in life? Work hard as a Christian. Pray, invest. You give me 3 things. Work hard, pray, invest. What else? Be faithful in whatever you are doing. There's one more I'm waiting for. Excellence with faithfulness and good. I'm still waiting for one thing. No. Not those things. I'm talking about serious things. See you. So that's your problem. It's part of faithfulness to be a generous giver. I'm waiting for something that's real. Discipline is part of faithfulness. Okay, let me give it to you. Wait. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Wait. After you've done all these things, you will now wait. That's the word I was waiting for. You will now what? Wait. You will by patience possess your soul. Through faith and patience, you will inherit the promises. I said, your daddy, one of our brothers here, he sat me down. Told everybody, you know who I'm talking about? He said, I've thought of closing this business down. You know, they're laughing at him. I was laughing at him. He was frustrated. And it's good business he's doing. He had thought, let me just shut this thing down. Let me find another way to move my life forward. I said, good, you are making progress. My wife and I, we see Jesus in the other day about business. One day, the man who owns here, I was in his house, we were talking. He asked after my wife. So what does she do now? Because she used to have a space around here. When she was leaving, he offered her free He said, okay, don't pay rent for the next 1 year on me. She said, no, thank you very much, sir, for the offer, but I need to leave for certain reasons. I want to do something else. He now asked me, he said, what is she doing now? I told him. Now, this is how you know people who have done business. Now, you know who I'm talking about. I just want to say, because we're streaming, all of you here, you know. You know that if you check sales people like him make, is in billions, billions, you count it. You understand my point here? Big, big man. But you see, you know a man who has done business. First thing he asked me is that, when I told him, he said, is she able to pay salaries? First question he asked me, can she meet her payroll? Oh, asking one question after the other, I was answering, and I said, now made a statement. He wasn't joking, no. He said, business is so hard. He wasn't talking about my wife, he was talking about, you could see that when he was speaking, it was his experience. He said, business is so hard. He said, people will owe you. I went to my, told my wife, I said, the same, how did people say, the same thing that your brethren are going through. You would have thought that, these are the big men now. There was a time, one of our brothers I worked with him was telling me things were happening in the office. That period was so hard that every scrap of money Oga had was being used to pay a bank loan. And it's a very low interest bank. And the bank is the reason why he can't even pay them. I don't have time to go into that. One day we were talking. I was talking when I was in his office another time. He said, well, that was our learning experience. So that, is it, what? We have to learn. That's where we learned. My brother, let me be honest with you. It's easier to shoot somebody and collect money. Don't be going this godly way. See, that's why young ladies do her lottery. That's why men carry cocaine. You know, because you can't... you can't do business, sweat day and night. After 4 months, you do your account, you realize you didn't make a dime in 4 months. A lot of people are doing business, who are making money. You know their problem? They don't know they are not making money. Let me beg you, in case you are here doing business, go and get an accountant to help you check whether you are making money. Because the day you will find that you are not making money, you will be so much in debt. Please, money in front of you is not your own. It's in your account, it does not mean it's your own. There are those who just give them job like this. Personally, don't go buy this, buy that. Because they don't worry. You will pay back. So this motor where you buy, you go sell them. You want to hear the truth? Grace or no grace, business is hard. And grace makes it hard so you can learn. One of the jobs of grace is to teach. Grace does not just all things for you. Grace teaches you. You know, my wife has always been that interpreter person, you know, that kind of thing. Those are the days I'm going home, I'm praying, Father God, let my wife not be at home. Why? Because I want to come and rest. Otherwise, I will hear all the problems of the day. And if I ever say, sweetheart, it's okay. She will call Pastor Courage or Mommy Ann and explain to them that I have a husband so he can hear what I have to say. I'm like, excuse me, but I'm just trying to sleep. She's angry enough to report to me that I did not agree to hear. She used to say something to this. That I work in many banks in Enugu. I said, what do you mean work in banks? He said, because my customers are everywhere. So if they don't get money, I don't get money. So we had their salaries are delayed. My wife said, my salary is also delayed. Why? Because the people that are owing me money, their salaries are delayed. One day my mother called me and said, I should please tell my wife to stop doing business. I said, Mommy, you have her phone number. Call her by yourself. You know my mother's problem? That the stress is too much. I said, Mommy, are you the one going through this stress? Me that I'm living here. what do you think I'm experiencing? The righteous way is not the easy way. It's not the easy way. It's not the... Some people think that they're preached to you. You think that if I walk in righteousness, the spirit of prosperity. The spirit of prosperity is, oh boy, my first job is to teach you something. And you will learn obedience through the things you will suffer. See, there's no way, there's no other way. Because you see, I know I've given instructions. But they say the soul cannot imbibe certain truths until it requires it. So you've heard instructions, but you can't imbibe it yet. Now go and live life. Experiences will drive this thing into your heart. Just watch me. Brethren, that is why people follow other gods. That's what I'm trying to say. Other gods will spare you all this trouble. They will kill you later. But at least, Yusuf, you go down and enjoy small. You will have had money for some years. Now, the other day, I was watching some former mafia guys talk about their lives in the mafia. And I said, these are people who don't see. Two of them, I don't remember the name of the second one, but the first one is, I think is Francis. Let me know, but his name keeps on, it confuses with another person's name, so let me not mention, but it's very well known. He left the mafia because he got born again. Yeah, he got born again. He left because he met a young lady, a Christian girl. In chasing the young woman, he gave his life to Christ. And he truly did, because he walked away from the mafia. All right? Now, of course, that was years ago. Now he's about 70 years old now. So he keeps telling stories, because he was in jail. And he'll tell you that, listen, it was good he was in jail, that they kept him in solitary confinement for I forgot how many years. So he almost went mad. And the Americans said, we will deal with you. And, of course, I think it's that process that he read the Bible. Solitary confinement is good for you. We are running up and down. But he was not telling a story. He said, this video I'm watching of him now, it's not the one I'm talking about, it's another video. I'll talk about that one in a moment. He mentioned that there was a time they published in a New York, in an American magazine, 30 top mob bosses in America. He was one of them. That's mafia bosses, organized crime, top leaders. 30, he was one of them. He was preaching to young people. He said, I was one of them. He said, of all those 30 now, every single one is dead, apart from two. He said, 28 are dead. One of them is me, talking to you. The other one is serving life imprisonment with no possibility of parole. 30 people that made it, top bosses. Those days, he was making like $7 million a week. Well, I was telling young people, he said, every person that was there, he said, we are all dead. He said, the only person that is not dead, the only two who are not dead, one is me. And I'm not dead simply because I gave my life to Christ. So I ran away early, relatively early. And that Jesus actually saved me. The other one I was telling in the video, that one was released from prison because he cooperated with the authorities. They used him to nail the other people. And so they gave him a relatively short sentence, maybe like 15 years imprisonment. And he finished serving his sentence, he was out. So when he was talking, I was listening to him talk. How they used to roll, how you don't get killed, how you do this and all of that. You think I felt like this guy, you bold, though. How you walk your way, how he made money, how they do this, how they steal, how they shoot, all those kind of things. Then I started saying something that, these things he's saying, they don't always work. Then he began to recount. He said, Carlos is dead. This one, he's not mentioned all his friends, one after the other. He said, no, there's no guarantee. You find out that almost everybody he rolled with was dead. He was just mentioning their names. He just mentioned this person, he's dead. This one, he got killed here. This one, he did not. He was mentioning their name one by one. And I realized that it was less than people that him that survived, less than a small fraction. That's Satan for you. He will promise, he will give. Then when he wants to collect, that's the point. See, it's always better. See that difficult road that God is taking us through is always the better road. Say, listen to me. Let me tell you why. Paul said to Timothy, say, godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise for the life that now is and the one that is to come. Every other road, they only have promise for the life that now is for a short period. Because the psalmist said, I entered into the temple and beheld their end. Walking with God is hard, let's not lie. It can be uninteresting. It can be boring. Before I make this next statement, let's look at something together. I said, when the Bible says that my enemies don't rejoice over me, if I fall, I shall rise again. What does that tell you? I say it all the time. Huh? No, that's not what I said. What did I say? You're on the ground. I can't be standing like this where I box and I say, don't rejoice over me when I fall. No, now, I'm going to knock you down. It's when I've hit the ground and I'm trying to get up. Now I look at my opponent, don't rejoice over me, I shall rise again. When Paul says, I'll make my statement in a moment. When Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, what does that mean? Gospel brings shame. When Jesus said that, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. What does that tell you? Following him makes people ashamed. It's paining me. There's a kind of, everything has its faults, you know, like extremes. There's one problem with prosperity gospel. I'm not saying it's a bad gospel. I believe in it. If you understand it well, please go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. It's inside there. I explain as much as possible, especially the second edition. I read the first one. It's free. Do I need to beg you to collect something that is free? Even if you have, do you have physical copies here? We do. Even our physical copies, please. Give me one. Give me a copy. Please, I'm begging people to read it. Thank you. This is a physical copy. Over 260 pages. All right? Reverend Felix, how much is it? 2,000 naira in today's Nigeria. Please, that expensive or cheap? It's expensive. So, if you want a physical copy, you can. I really advise people, if you are remote, you're not here, just contact our number. Really, I will tell you, take as many books as possible so that it will be worth your career cost. Yes. All right. So, please, download it for free. If you don't want to, the e-copies are free to download, free to share. All right? Please go and read the book. You'll see my opinion, my understanding of prosperity. I believe very strongly in prosperity. However, I think we did ourselves a great disservice by not balancing some things well. People now look at as if Christianity is a passport to prosperity. It is not. You can serve God in this life and not be rich. All your needs will be met. God will take care of you. He will take care of you. But any worldly standard for comparison. And let me tell you something there. One of the disciplines you learn as you're growing as a Christian, especially when God blesses you, stop jumping at every opportunity. God gave me a lot of wisdom. I don't get my point. Yeah, not a bragging thing. It's just fact, you know. With my age, experience, there are things I've told people, other people have done them, and they've financially succeeded. And I say, I remember I said this thing. Do you know what? No matter how much money I have to invest in and do some of those things, I say, Banky, say, are you looking for problems? I said, the answer is no. So face your work. Yeah, I say, are you looking for trouble? I said, no, I'm not looking for. So just face your business. You're not competing with anybody. Sometimes I see pastors brag, you know. There's someone I said to your daddy, hey, Judah, your friend, said I sit on the board of 12 companies. I said, you get time. If I sit on the board of 12 companies, I shall die before my time. See, I'm not saying sitting on the board of 12 companies is bad. I'm just saying if Pastor Banky sits on the board of 12 companies actively, he shall die before his time. But do you know what? Those temptations will always open there. They will come to you. When we get to a particular level in life, they will come. Every step in life has its problems. There are times you are praying to God, give me money, give me money, give me money. God says, no problem. Then there's a time your prayer will be said, God, you have given me money. May I not be led astray by it? And it's a more dangerous prayer than the necessary prayer because the dangers are more than the first one. You see, let me just drop this one on the side. If you're a believer, your supplies, your money, and all of it is not random. I was talking to one of our brothers the other day. He showed me that the land he bought, that the price, by the time he finished paying for it, the price had gone up, I think, it's sixfold. Hey, he said, if I knew, I would look for money to buy like three or four that time. I said, oh boy, forget that thing. Now, if you have found money to buy four that time, God will have crashed the price because of you. You will regret it. He has given you your own now. Say, pay 1/6 of today's price because he locked it down years ago and he was paying bit by bit. By the time he finished paying, people are offering him 6 times that amount to collect it from him. Because they sell it first. You will try and find another one, no will give you. I've given you this one, build your house on it, stay there. And don't regret that. Why didn't I just buy four? Those four you are thinking about will have been the bane of your existence. Because you're a Christian, nothing is random with you. Things are appointed. What am I trying to explain all of these things? The path of God is always the best path. And I was saying that the gospel is not a gospel of this show of prosperity. Because a lot of people, when God does not do that prosperity thing for them the way they expect it. They think that they don't have faith or they failed. And God is looking like, did you read your Bible? What revelation would John have known to change the way he was living? Some of us think that, you see, John, praise God, you know, there are certain keys John did not press. You know, when you get into the line, there's a kind of line to have. And John, look, see, you know your problem? Blindness. There's nothing you are looking forward to. If you are looking forward to introducing the bridegroom, you think you have time for this nonsense? I don't know whether you're getting my point. If you are the one that they said, of all men born of women, none is of greater. You think you have time for this one? You say, your problem is you are worldly. So you think John did not know. John said, your problem is that you don't see anything. If you know what I have seen, we read the other day, there are people like that walking barefoot over. The Bible says that they were too holy for this world. John was one of them. But when you don't know anything now, you be. One of our brothers said something that he wanted to eat him. The way we attacked him, he had to pipe down. He said, John, yeah, what was that? He said, John did not know his rights. That's why they beheaded him. I said, you know your problem? Worldliness. Okay, now, he said that if Stephen, he says, because Stephen said, into your hand, I commit my spirit. That's why he died. So, you know your problem? You have not seen what Stephen saw. If you see what Stephen saw, you will tell the Lord, into your hand I commit my head, my shoulders, my knees, my toes, not only your spirit. Say, Lord, what am I doing here? So, this is the point I'm going to make. Many of us, what happens was that as a church, we began to look at things in this world as validation for true faith. Because the gospel of prosperity came. So when God doesn't do us the way he did some people financially, we start interpreting it as lack of faith, missing God. And listen to this, many times we now walk away from where God said we should stay. Very common, now that's my own field, so that I can tell you that. Very common with preachers. We do that a lot. One man said that he doesn't believe God wanted him to start a church. He said, but he did because he had to get respect. Yeah, he confessed it. I said, that one is close to the kingdom because at least he has acknowledged his sin. When I started in Kingdom World, senior people, they said that to me that I should start a church. I said, why? He said, because people won't give you money if there's not a church. Now, this is the interesting part. I mean, like for me, like, so you can say that to me that the reason why I should start, you didn't even say that what God wants you to do is better done. He said that you won't get money. Okay, how do you explain that you gather people because you want to take their money? How do you sleep at night? That person said that, Banky, see, I'm telling you, if you don't have a church, people will not respect you. And I told him, because that one, he was younger, even though a little older than me, but he was younger than the other man. I said, I'm not doing it for respect. I just want to teach the word. Archive it, let people go there and go and be listening to the messages. That's all that concerns me. I'm not, God has helped me now over time to know, Bank, if you need money, ask me for it. I will give you. And God gives money different ways. I mean, and people tell me that, and I'm like, so, you actually expect me to do this? And the motivation, I'm motivating people to come to church, I'm organizing church programs, one, because I want to get their money so I can serve God. If God will not bring money for his own work, shouldn't we leave it undone? And by the way, I knew this from the beginning. I learned it early. Bishop Odupo used to say, God did not send me and a microphone. So what he used to say is that, he said, those when he started church, he would preach, people couldn't hear what he was saying. He said, they joined their money to go and buy mic. He said, God didn't send me and a mic. And me, I knew it. See, when I began Kingdom Word, my wife is a good witness. She was the one in trouble, actually, because she had to hear me preach. She had to follow me. I had to preach. There was a time, many of the messages people heard on radio, I preached only her. I said, well, let's record for radio. She sits at the foot of the bed. I plugged the small microphone I have to the computer. And you see me, only one person is listening. When I finish the ha-hum, ha-hum, we'll go burn it on CD, carry it to Cosmo FM, give it to them. You think I didn't have no congregation. The only congregation I had was the wife I married. I harassed this girl well. Now, you see some people, pastors, you know, their wives come to church when they like. Not this one. One day my wife came late, always in the other place. So people, you came late today. And you can think of one story. He went somewhere. I said, okay. Next time, I sat down and said, so let's come to an agreement. Any day you come late, don't come near where I'm preaching. See, once it's 5 o'clock, if you're not inside that place, please go home. When no guests in my eye, you know, say, this black guy is serious. As if you don't take me seriously. Why should anybody take me seriously? My wife is to see some people, maybe they come late to church. He said, just marry my husband small. You go stop what this year. Just marry my husband for like 3 months. You won't do this thing again. Like, yeah, enjoy, you know. But I'm going to say, that was the only person. One day I was teaching medical students. One girl said, you're a good man. You know what she said to? I told her, I said, even my children, they don't owe me anything. That when they grow, they can go. As if anybody kidnap my wife, say me, I should exchange my children. I will give the person the children, collect my wife back. I said, and they know. So I thought you are making demand what you want, and your children will give your wife back. The children will run because they know. I'm going to round them up. They said, what? I said, I said, they are called side effects. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I said, that's my kingdom of God. All of you are added. I said, I'm looking at them, you know. Age is passing. Next thing, they go to tell you a story. They go here, go there. Then one day you wake up, now only you remain. You and your wife. Where am I going with this all of you? I said, see, when God sent me to ministry, he said, see Abraham, your father. And Sarah, he said, I called him alone. So, the two of them, alone. I said, all I needed is the wife I have, just small money to buy microphone. I preach, I record. If we can print on radio, we put. If we can't, I print paper, I record it, I keep it. Good enough, internet now came. I keep it there, everybody go there. Now we are broadcasting all over the country. Right now, Tall Reverend, how many radio stations? Terrestrial radio stations? 25 across Nigeria. Every part. Well, not every part, most parts. At least middle belt, part of the north, and the whole south. It's God that did it like that too. I wasn't begging him. What I'm trying to say is that the amount of work I am doing is the same. The day we broadcasted one particular radio station, a television station, international, so we had to pay them in dollars. We had some issues processing, getting dollars that period. When they harassed us a few times for their money, I called them, I said, shut it down. I said, take it off air. I said, please, I don't owe money. I said, take it off air. I've told you guys, this is the challenge we're having. If you guys can, I said, there's no problem. Take it off air. The head of the radio, the television station, they're not in Nigeria, they're in South Africa. She now called me. I sent an email. She said, the devil is a liar. I said, madam, see. This lying devil, you know the way he's telling the lies. Because I'm being harassed by your staff. He said, no, the devil is a liar. One of us joined that called me that, very happy with us that a lot of people come, but we came teaching that she was very happy. I said, ma, so, I mean, I'm not there for stress. I'm not there for stress at all. Then we're now trying to find the middle of the road. Because when he just brought up the matter, straight, I said, shut it down. God won't say I was not faithful. Because whether I'm on your station or not, I will preach the same messages. The same messages are archived. The point I'm making about it is that, so, I didn't see any need to be gathering people because I want to collect their money. It was not even necessary. But even if I needed money, and please, if you're a preacher, if you're always needing money, you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. Why should you always be needing money? Preacher. No, there's something you're doing that you're not supposed to be doing. Please, let me sit on the main thing I'm trying to say. So you see, when we set up those wrong idols in our eyes, all right, before us, that's how we start disobeying. Because somebody tells you now that, as a preacher,
two of these ministers.
One of them reported to me, somebody said, looked at Kingdom Word, looked at me, and said that if he has been in ministry for this long, no be any good day. I said, this guy, you don't understand. I wish I would see him and I could tell him that I heard you said this. That let me just tell you something you don't know. Me and you are not running the same race. Let me tell you the people I'm racing with, just as an example. Apostle Paul. Who thousands of years later, you're reading his letter every day and his scripture. No, what he meant is that Kingdom does not have big headquarters. That's what it means. That's what he was looking for. That's what he was referring to. After this, he's waiting Kingdom will get. If Nain don't do this, this means he will have this. I just shook the guys. I shook my head. I said, boy, me and you are not chasing the same thing. And that's why people start disobeying. That's the point I'm making. When a wrong standard is set, to the one young man I saw one day, fire in his bones. Oh, God, so sad. Fire. He said, please, I should give him. I went to do a program. It was in Benin. Years ago, he came there, showed me his plans for ministry. You know, these kind of people that fire, even before you talk to them, their fire is burning you. Guy was full of fire. So I should give him the word of the Lord. I say, I'm not one of those prophets that when I see your face, I prophesy. I don't. He said, no, I must say something. I said, oh boy. So when he insisted, I said, all right. Me too, I said. He said, you reach inside me. So I reached inside me and I opened my mouth and the Lord filled it and I said, take it easy. He wants to hear what the Spirit is saying. You know how I knew it was the Lord that spoke, not me. His countenance fell. One. And he said to me, he mentioned another minister who came to town to do a program before. He did the same thing to that man as he was doing to me. Say something from your spirit. And that one said exactly the same thing I said. I said, okay. So, you've heard the word the Lord is saying. Did he hear? No. One day I asked after him. They say he has changed his name. One day I saw him online. He was congratulating TB Joshua that he died. Sorry, what do you say? He was saying that a real prophet died. So if you are saying he's fake, you are the one that is fake. I said, okay, what do I expect you to say? He was beginning to do all these funny things of, what do you call it now? I prophesied it. Papa prophesied it. He had twisted his hair, bleached his skin. Yeah. And I shook my head. I said, Ichabod. Why? Because true ministry is not glamorous. Because true ministry doesn't mean you'll be great and big. Because many times true ministry, you don't even know when exactly it will have its effect. Isaiah said, he made me a select arrow. Then he hid me in his quiver. So at the point in time, I said, I've spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. And God said, you know why? Because what you are looking at is not what I'm looking at. You want to gather only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, but I will make you a light to the nations. You know why I'm saying this? I'll get to my main message in a moment. I don't want to stay too long. I have a short while to go. Just about 30 minutes. Because as we are following the Lord, every day temptations will be coming to exit the narrow path. Don't think the narrow path, once you enter, they lock the door. No. As you are going out, they open up. You won't come out. As you are going past, they open the door. You won't come out. And the more you walk on that road, the tighter it gets. Then they open the road. Do you want to leave? And this is the painful part. Many leave. That's my message for today. And I'm preaching, don't leave. If you ever have to revise how you began, take a long time to pray. Don't take it easily. Because that is really the temptation. That's where it starts. When I began, after a long time of doing ministry, one of my friends, No, sorry. Pressure was here and there. Now, please. You all know what I'm saying.
It's true.
I'm like, what? I'm not trying. There's nothing wrong with starting a church. You know how many of our brothers here, Pastor Kevinte, pastor of a church. You understand? So, there's nothing wrong with it. But Billy Graham was not the pastor of a church. Ken Hagin was not the pastor of a church. Do you understand? All right? But many other people that we know, the pastor of church, Pastor Yadiboy is pastor of a church. So different strokes, different folks. You have to know your own. So mine, I didn't see it to be like that. I saw it like what I'm doing now, just teach the word. That's always been the foundation from the beginning. So, along the line, hey, pastor, you see, can you come? If you can just, you know, Sunday, church, this, that. So after a while, you know, now, there's stubbornness. You can be stubborn. You don't want to hear. Or you're trying to be righteous. But sometimes stubbornness is not good. You want to be sure that you're doing what the Lord is saying. So I decided to go and pray. Maybe the Lord wants me to do another thing. And I'm insisting on the way we start. Because again, the way you started does not always have to be the way it ends. But many times it's Satan that helps you turn it around, though. But sometimes it's God. So there's no substitute for praying. There's none. Having a clean heart, a sincere heart, there's no substitute. Now, I decided to go and pray and be. Say, Lord, I'm not trying to do what people are saying, but let me just be sure of what that I'm on the right path. One of my friends, he passed on a few years ago. It was one that God used to speak to me. I just said, wait, I want to ask you something. Before he used to follow the ministry and all of that. I said, what do you think? Look at this, and I just want to hear your opinion. It was the person that finally gave me the answer. He said, what they're asking you to do, people are already doing it. He said, but what you are doing, how many people do you know that are doing it? That was the way he answered it for me. I won't give you details of how I got yet. That's exactly what I'm saying. So I stopped what I was doing. This is where I'm going. Do you know? After that, somebody told Pastor Kimuti, one of his friends, somebody I know. He said, do you know there was one pastor in this Enugu who used to do exactly what Pastor Bank is doing? He said, they used to meet on Saturdays and Tuesdays. He said, one day people talked to him, and he turned it to a church, and the ministry collapsed. I said, God of miracles, now my papa. Ha! That was after I'd made up my mind, though. Then I got this feedback. Where I'm going is that the temptations don't disappear. See, my own was even a good temptation. They said, be more effective, do what the Lord is asking you to do. The one that is satanic, where you don't need anybody to pray for you, I mean, like, for you to go and pray, is when somebody says that, look at your last birthday now. What did you get? Greed, covetousness. Your friend who's the pastor of a church, see what they gave him. Prado. A new Avensis. Did they make Avensis? I don't think so. It's an Avalon. I say, you, na cake. I say, something is wrong with eating cake. And if you are not careful, it gets to you. I thank the Lord, though. Father God, I'm not saying I'm perfect and everything, but me. When you say, tell me things like that, I quickly satanify you. Do you like my English? I quickly know you. Satan sent you. Those who say that you'll be more effective, I listen to those ones a bit in case God is speaking. But they say that you will get more, I say, ah, Satan. You know what I'm saying? So, doing what is right does not always pay. What's my message? If you have made up your mind you want to follow the Lord, follow him till the end. Make up your mind from the beginning. Like my wife will say, we die here. And when I say die, I mean literal. You know, this we die that we are stuck with this. No, I mean, God, kill us. This is where you will meet us. Sometimes, see, I try my best, God helping me. And I'm even analyzing things, not to judge things of another person. But it's difficult sometimes not to analyze things. Serving God can be uncomfortable. And you are forbidden from dislodging yourself because of comfort. That's my message. Sometimes doing what God is saying is not comfortable and does not, listen to this, and does not promise comfort on this earth. If it brings comfort, thank God. If it doesn't, we collect grace to endure. Endurance is part of the gifts The fruit of the Spirit. Ability to endure. The ability to endure is part of the fruit of the Spirit.
So I'm obeying God. Things are not working as well as they should. Well, too bad. We're not because of that. We're not going to because of that stop. If the Lord has forgotten us and he has gone to Hawaii, remember Hawaii? We'll send him a note. Enjoy your Hawaii. We're not living here.
We die here. And when we say die, I mean die. And because, you know, there's something Jesus did. One of the first things he tackled in the life of a real Christian is the fear of death. Because that's why people miss the will of God, though. And there are different kinds of death. There's death in which you die, they bury you, your body is gone. You will see you after resurrection. But there's death of other things. You're very brilliant, hyper-intelligent. You went to school. First class is your portion. And then God posted you a job that your friends were thinking you'd be one of the richest men in Nigeria. God said, no, you're not going to be. Let me just use ministry as an example. Stay there. Your job is to be ministry. Somebody with this kind of brain, God said, you think I only use stupid people? How can you be too intelligent for the will of God? How? I saw one today. I didn't see him today. I got his messages some time ago, but I listened to him the last few days. And I was impressed when I started to read his biography. He's a British man. He passed on around in the 80s or so, or early 90s. Said the man, he can take a book like, now let me just get an example, the book of Philippians, and preach 100 messages on it. 100. I think doctors are good people. You know what I'm saying? So he was a doctor, British doctor. He said that that's what God wanted him to do. So he sat in the church, the same church, for over 30 years, teaching a few times a week. That's the person you see me listen to. A lot of this man with that funny voice. I said, hey, I like people like this. He went to medical school, well-trained. He said, no, this is not the job God gave him. This is the job God gave him. He sat down and started teaching the word. Now he has, the book of Romans alone, I think he has about 240 messages. You take one book. It doesn't end. You know, he just starts teaching. You know, like me, I said, come back next Sunday. He preached a few times a week. Was he rich? Do you know, I don't know. However, just like I do, Pastor Banky in 10, we release every day. I found out that they release his own messages every day, 45 minutes. Every day. There's new 45 minutes for you. And the man passed on over 20-something years ago. What gave you the impression that God only uses, and I say, with the kind of brain you have? That's how one of my students told me that day. Let's forget ministry. I'm a minister. That's why I keep saying using ministry. But as a lecturer, a student of mine, who I helped, he traveled abroad, came back. Ah, sir. Hey, thank God, oh. Thank God for your life, oh. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Well, not for you, I would have gone abroad looking like a fool. Her words. I said, but because of those things you taught us, I could show myself, okay? I showed them that I came from somewhere. He said, young, brilliant people like you. I didn't know I was brilliant. She said so. This was years ago. I was young that time. Really, really, really young. Yeah, what I'm telling you is at least 20 years ago. So just minus whatever I'm looking like now, minus 20 years. So she was right. So you're just wasting in this country. So you should go, just leave this country so that your star can shine, your potential can be explored. That was not even a temptation. This girl was not satanic enough to me. Even I called her on Sunday. That's not even temptation. Because as she was talking, I was looking at her. Get behind me, Satan. No. Maybe get behind me, Basketball. Because this is not strong enough to be called Satan. But this is the point. I looked at her. I said, after I will have gone, the next set of ignoramuses like you that will show up, who will help them? My exact words. That was my exact words. She was a medical student. I said, when will I have gone? She was then in 50. I said, when will I have gone? The next set of ignoramuses like you that will show up, who will help them? And why I said to that, by the time I came, they had failed my subject, all right? But I was fresh. So they were feeling very bad and all of that. So she and her friends came to see me, whether I could help. And I said, okay, gather all of you. I'll give them the lectures like twice a week and all of that. Special lectures, they're always coming. And I told them when I began, I said, you'll be happy you failed. I said, because if you had passed, you wouldn't have known anything. I said, but now you failed, you met me, I will teach you, you'll be very, very good with this subject, and you will see. And she didn't remember I said so, but she said, thank God we failed though. That allowed us to meet you. So I said, next time, another set of ignoramuses show up, what will happen to them? Because I'm using ministry all the time, but there are other things. One of our brothers, he went to his school, he was working in his school. Then he got a job in a bank. He was leaving. He stopped by in Kingdom World Office, the other place, picked up the book, Don't Quit the Army. He went, declined the bank job and went back to work. In secondary school. Declined the bank job, went back to work. The current police PRO for Enugu, I can say that openly. The day we met at Good of the Land, he said, finally, I get to meet you, sir. So this is a man that made me resign from working in the bank to go and join Nigeria Police. I don't know exactly what I said about leaving bank and joining police. But exactly what he did. He said it. He came at the Good of the Land, 200 prayer session. I don't know how many of you were there the day he said it. Quite a number of you. He said, then in Abia State, at home, he used to listen to the way of success. One day he looked and said, no, where God wants me to be is in Nigeria Police. Let me tell you, in this life, when Satan wants to pull you off God's course for your life, he will bring difficulty. God allows that. He will whisper to you. Let's remember the difficulties God knows about them. He told them, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. And I'm saying to you, don't be afraid of what you are suffering. Don't. So the devil will tempt you. Say you have trial for 10 days. He said, be faithful till the end. Be faithful unto death, he said. Brethren, we're talking about dying physically. That's not what I'm talking about. What is the simple death that we face every day? I hear even preachers. If you get to this country, you see how people are living. I keep on telling them, my issue is not how people are living. It's what did God say I should do? Or I should be doing. Say, occupy till I come. I've already established to us that in the midst of all of that, brethren, God is correcting us. And my challenge to us again today is, believe God till the end. When they call Jesus the author and finisher of it, I was going to explain that, right? You know what it means? He started and he finished the faith walk. He started and he finished the faith walk, which means every step of the way when he was tempted, he didn't fall for it. There are different kinds of temptations. There's mundane, simple temptation of food and drink, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, with what we shall clothe ourselves. Then the time comes, influence. Influence is temptation, do you know that? Like I give as an example all the time, whatever I tell you to buy from this pulpit, trust me, you will buy it. You will buy it. Baba Biji, you will buy it. All I need to do is come next Saturday and say, have you bought your own? Either you lie or you go and buy. And if you don't want to go to hell, you will go and buy. So the discipline God has now given me, God now demands of people like me, therefore, is what are you telling people to buy? So I can harass you. Have you read Don't Quit the Army? Do you get it? Yes, I'm allowed to. I'm allowed to. I'm allowed to harass you. Because go and read it. I'm not trying to make money from it. After you can download it for free. That's what I now use the influence for. But somebody now says, Pastor, we are selling this thing. If you can, any sale we make, 20% is for Kingdom World. They won't say it's for you because you are too righteous. It's for Kingdom World. Then you now say, okay, why is it called? Only Kingdom World? Okay, you can take 10%. Kingdom World take 10. And you know, there are churches that they send their members into pyramid scheme. Now, see, let me just, if you're a pastor, let me just tell you now. That money, you will pay back. You will pay back. How can you be using your church members as downline in a marketing, pyramid schemes, network marketing? That's ungodly. What do you use your influence for? I've done it before. Tell people, say, call your wife. Tell her you love her. They're angry. Why can't you disobey me? I'm Pastor Banky now. I will tell you, send your wife a message here. Maybe you are fine. But the person doesn't think so. What does it matter? I'm standing in front of you, and you must do what I said. Force people to do right. But use your influence for your own gain. No, it's not allowed. I'm talking about different temptations. Sometimes, you see, you just get God's full number. Tell him that, God, it looks like you have forgotten me. I want to tell you that I'm not angry. Just forget me here. But can you just send somebody to kill me so that I'll stop worrying? That's what Job said. Even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. That's what they mean that, let's look on the natural plane. After seven, they lost, they began to beat Jesus Christ. Father didn't say anything. They were crucifying him. The Father didn't say anything. Then finally, he looked at the God and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But the point is that it's still what? My God. Even though he appears like he has forsaken me. My call, that's the message I've been trying to preach for some time. I said today, I will catch all of you and you must hear it today. Influence, thank you. That no matter what comes your way, no matter how bad it seems, brethren, there is no excuse for turning back. That's my message. When they call Jesus the author and finisher of faith, that's the meaning. That means every step of the way, no matter the temptation, whether it was the temptation to do bad or temptation to do the good that God did not ordain. That's the point I'm making. God knows where he's going, or you don't know it. The gates of God are gates of righteousness. Let me just remind us of a few things and then we're out of here. Some things we have said before, let me just list them and then we're done. God sends or allows, whichever we want to describe it, I don't want to go into argument on that. It does send distress, difficulty. And the Bible says that when it happens, what do? Rejoice. James said, count it all joy. And in the midst of it, brethren, every difficulty must never... See, let me tell you the kind of person I am. God help me to be. If I'm going on the road and my tire goes down at a bad place, making life difficult for me, I must learn a lesson. I pray to God. What are you saying? One day I was on the junction over there. Some of you still see the bumps on my car. It's over a year and a half now. And a keke ran into me. And my car is nice, right? Isn't it? It's not a Bentley. It's not a Rolls Royce. But it's a nice ride, isn't it? Some of my colleagues today, I just drove up. I didn't know I was the one because my car is a bit tinted. I drove up to where he was like, which kind of crazy man they drive like this? So he moved out of the way. So I went, I said, wow, I was trying to greet you. He said, oh, chief, how now? He said, this car fits you. You are getting more handsome by the day. He told me that today. It felt good. I think it's only women that like to hear such things. Men also. I beg, if you think I'm getting more handsome, let me know. The Lord is good. Anyway, that was a nice car. And Keke bumped it. Not the Keke, actually. It was one South guy that tried to ram me from the side. I'm trying to avoid him. Keke was trying to navigate. Bam! He hit my vehicle. I came down and told the Keke man, don't worry about it. It's not your fault. I apologized to him. He thought it was his fault. I said, no, it's not your fault. It's my fault. So your vehicle, his own Keke was not damaged. My car, fine ride, dented. As I was driving, I knew what the Lord was saying. I won't tell you what. Someone said, will you fix it? No, I'm not going to fix it. It has to be reminding me of what the Lord is saying. I was angry about some things around that period. And God just said, my friend, will you behave yourself? And I said, yes, I hear. You talk nonsense, if you misbehave there, I knock the engine. If you continue like that, I burn the whole motor. And people say, God, he does. And I'd rather he does it than for me to allow some things stay in my heart. But God helped me. Immediately I learned. You have difficulties, don't let it go free. Lie. One word that you must win now. One word that you must win. You must win that thing. Difficulty happens, no. You can't go free. You can't go free. For what? How will you go free? I must get my lesson out of it. I hope you're getting my point. Difficulty gets our attention, so we must seek God in the midst of it. We must. No matter how small, no matter how big. Please stop Satan worship. I must say that again. Stop Satan worship. You must stop it. Stop worshiping witches.
in which everything. Some guys, they make movies and they say everything. Now spirit, evil spirit. I tell my wife, I don't get time for their movies again. I don't have time for their movies. Everything is devil, devil, devil. There are some videos some people are sharing up and down. AI movies. Say, watch that. He said, did you see it? The teacher sharing pencil. Pray for your child. Call a pencil. How do you behave like say we don't have sense? Brethren, don't pray for your child because of teacher sharing pencil. If your teacher gives your child a pencil, let him use it with joy. Some of you now teach these children that they are young to be superstitious and be paranoid. I saw that if anyone that make that AI video, stop that rubbish. You are disgracing the Lord. The Lord is not happy with you. And I'm speaking for him. So you have to pray for your children. A teacher, he said, some teachers are witches. They are sharing pencil to remove the brain of the children. It's a lie. You're telling me, it's a lie. It's a lie. Fat lie. Meanwhile, Baba, the child of the father of that child, let me tell you the witch that will kill that child if you're not careful. Those girls you are chasing. Those girls. And somebody listen to me. If a married woman has been too nice to you and you don't run away, you want to kill those children. You're talking, tell me nonsense that a witch gives the child pencil in school. This is the video. The child says, I can't remember. How can you remember? Your father is a sinner. Your father doesn't love his wife. There are women who resent their husband. They may have reasons. So that's why the children will forget. That may very look like witches. Nonsense. See, witches don't go to church. They don't bother believers. I hope you're getting my point. Any witch that's bothering a believer has one or two. See, let me just say, it's one or two. It's a number of things. There are two or three of them. Number one, is a witch that wants to die. They never teach nonsense. Are you getting my point? Yes. Otherwise, those ones that have entered really, they will have to see. When you see this kind of fire burning on their head, run. Those ones, they kill people. You let them know. Or some people, they join witchcraft to make money. And you think it's only, they scam people there too. They come for initiation into nothing. They say initiation money is 1.5 million. They pay. They say bring red cloth. Dip it inside the blood of a chicken. Hey, chico, 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 chicken, chico, chico, chico. At the end of the day, the person initiating you is a scammer. It's not a witch. You know that when you go there now, I tell you when you go back to your compound, you now have power. Look, the real witch will kill you. So those ones are the types that come and test a real Christian because they think they have power. So when you see such people just feeding them, you say, hey. You look, are you okay? That's it again. Say, come, let me help you blow it. It's something enter your eye. Nonsense. The real ones, you know, the ones that are they exist. They scope. They look, say, let's go and afflict that person. Say, you go first, and they come. I won't go market, knowing that you won't come back alive. He said, Olori Egbe, are you not going to go? He said, no. No, I'm on leave. She don't check out, say, oh boy, cross that side. Not to die be that. The only witches that attempt Christians, especially Christian men, Christian guys, let me tell you. You want to know? It's simple. They are fine girls. You get what I'm saying? That's all. If you know, you know. They don't come to give you juju to do you like, no. They offer to rub your back. And then some pastors don't know. They go and say, church, so somebody will not join church, join choir. Not join amongst those who are serving the minister. Not be serving you too much. You say, collect service. That's really witch. That's what witches do. Go and read my book, Worship and Sex Control. Please, can I just beg you? Don't force such nonsense. I see on some status of some of you people. If I see on your status, you know me now. I will harass your life immediately. The child say, hey, I can't remember. Why will you? Because they give you pencil. I beg you, person won't give my. I don't have children that are collecting pencil anymore. All my children, what they cannot collect now is mobile phone, tabs, computers, you know, things. Please, if you want to witchcraft them with a computer, feel free.
I've authorized them to collect. They will use your computer to upload messages to pastor.ng. Nothing bad will happen to them. Nothing. Nothing. See, Christians will do. I beg, let me finish my message. Let us go home. Let's stop worshiping witches and devils, thinking that the ones causing our problems, they are not the ones. Just remember that all God is doing in your life is curing idolatry, curing disobedience, and bringing forth Christ-likeness. He has a wisdom in the midst of your difficulty. He has a wisdom for deliverance. And you only achieve that wisdom through praying and meditating on the word. Remember, anytime you pray like that, you are joyful in your afflictions, like James said. We say you will discover four things. Number one, the transgressions to repent from. You renew sleep dedications. You will discover new things in life. God will show you new things. You will discover the face of God. He will give you wisdom for your salvation. Many of the inventions you will have that will make you impactful in your life will be discovered in the time of your difficulty, in the time of your afflictions. And one of the things you also discover is faith, which comes through desperation. When you are in a situation in which you know nobody else can help you. Yeah, it happens. There are times God, the devil gives you bad news. Sorry, not the devil. There will be a time the doctor will give you bad news. Don't use it to cry. Use it to what? Pray. Get on your knees and say to the Lord, this is what he said, but I know what you said. I remember the testimony I gave us here. It's a very beautiful testimony. One of our brothers in the house, the neurosurgeon. He said, sir, I just witnessed a miracle. I had a patient booked for surgery. She came and said, sir, can we cancel the surgery? I said, what happened? Her eye was totally blind in one eye. She was totally blind in one eye. She was already paralyzed in that side of the eye. They had done an MRI scan, and they saw the tumor at the base of the brain. Booked her for surgery. She came back later. The eye was working. Everything was normal. He called me immediately after. I said, sir, come and see what I just saw. But it's what he said to the... It was the girl said. So what happened? That one said, my sister and I prayed. So he asked me, what should I do? You know, the doctor got confused. I said, number one, of course, the surgery is not going to go. He said, yeah, I know that. What do I do with the patient? I said, well, let her go home, give her appointment. Then, after a few months, order another MRI. You have to act as a doctor. This is a clinic. And if everything is clear, discharge her, let her go home from the clinic. I said, thank you. Around the same period, another patient too came and saw him. Also booked that one for surgery on the spine. That one came back. Everything was normal. He said, what happened to you? He said, one man prayed for me. Did you get that? He said, one man prayed for me. There's a kind of faith you will find. Eh? Well, you see, when you have malaria, you won't have that faith. Do you know why? Coartem works. Chloroquine works. All these quinine products, they work. They make your ear sink small, but you work. Then your ear will go back to normal. There are drugs you take, they will knock you down, goza. Anything that has chloroquine inside, guaranteed to first make you sicker than the malaria. Then you now recover. So why are you praying long prayer? When a doctor tells you you have leukemia, you say, I'm coming. Leukemia, I said, no, it was not here. I was going somewhere else. Say, warn yourself. I said, what you pray at that time? So the faith you did not know you had. The next thing you have malaria, you still buy medicine. No? Yeah, because you're not desperate. Really. There's a kind of desperation that faith in that then. There's a kind of faith desperation brings out of you. Somebody, even the Lord, be telling you that I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Same for where? Lost you. These people, we know they obey you. Okay, I'm lost too. What is it? All of us are just, who are lost together. So no, the outside are the dogs. He said, dogs, they eat crumb. See, you will just be having an explanation. Afterward, they'll say, okay, I beg, take, eat the crumbs, get healed. It's well with your daughter. Say, hey, now you're talking. It's a kind of faith you discover at such times. And most importantly, you discover, as a result of these things you have found, you make new levels of consecration. Personally, it has happened to me almost every time that I've had issues, afflictions. I always find a way to give the Lord something.
Now, I don't mean money. I don't mean seed. I mean, there's a part of my life. I say, Lord, you can have it. Am I holding this back? Let it go. Let it go. Bow down your heads. I finished the message. Everybody say, thank God for me. Just be thanking God for me because, Joshua, I've been trying to preach this message for the last 4 weeks. It has finally come out. Just thank the Lord for it. Say, Father God, thank you. I pray that I trust the Lord spoke to you.